This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, July 16th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin meet in Finland. We're on the ground in Helsinki.
Goldman Sachs prepares to name Lloyd Blankfein's replacement as soon as this week.
Wall Street awaits testimony from Jerome Powell.
Amazon kicks off Prime Day and Netflix reports earnings.
A Republican senator says he is concerned about Supreme Court nominee Kavanaugh. Plus, the U.S. and North Korea held talks concerning the remains of American soldiers. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Blischka, ahead in sports. Can the Yankees keep up with red-hot Boston? And a World Cup champion in Wimbledon is crowned.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
U.S. futures are higher as we head into earnings season this week. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 3 points this morning. Dow futures up 53. NASDAQ futures up 16. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.2%. CAC in Paris is little changed, up less than 0.1%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.1%. No trading in Japan today, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was little changed, up less than 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.83%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.5% or 34 cents is $70.67. A barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2%, up $2.80 to $12.44 an ounce. The euro $1.1695 and the yen 112.47. Bob.
A little more than an hour from now, President Trump meets with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Helsinki, Finland. Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern is there and joins us now with a preview. Good morning, Anne-Marie.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. Following the news of fresh indictments, Special Counsel Robert Mueller has changed the game for this Helsinki summit. Trump's goals for the meeting have always been a bit unclear, but now he's under pressure from Congress, including members of his own party, to finally confront President Vladimir Putin once and for all over election meddling. On the agenda, besides election meddling, we could hear about nuclear proliferation. The new START treaty, which is set to expire in 3 years, needs renewal. On Ukraine, Trump said at NATO in Brussels that Crimea is a very interesting question, and he doesn't know what will happen. So many are asking, could we potentially see Trump recognize Crimea's annexation or a potential path to sanctions relief? On Syria, especially in terms of Iranian-backed troops there, the two are likely to discuss the situation and the conflict. And finally, on oil, we learned that Putin is preparing for President Trump to bring up oil production following his tweets targeting OPEC. In Helsinki, I'm Anne-Marie Hordern, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. Mr. Trump and Putin are set to meet next hour, followed by a working lunch and a joint news conference. We'll bring you the latest live throughout the morning here on Bloomberg Radio.
Turning to financial news now, Goldman Sachs reportedly plans to name President David Solomon as its next CEO early this week. Bloomberg Daybreak editor Christine Harvey has more.
This decision, possibly being announced as soon as today, according to the New York Times, would be a lot earlier than we expected. We have Goldman Sachs earnings tomorrow, so that may provide the bank a nice platform for kind of laying out some more of the details on this succession plan.
The move would bring an end to Lloyd Blankfein's 12-year tenure as the head of Goldman. The New York Times says Blankfein will stay on at the bank for an interim period following the announcement.
And one of the week's big events for bond traders, Jay Powell on Capitol Hill. The Fed chairman delivers testimony to lawmakers tomorrow. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob. Powell will likely face questions about the escalating trade war and how it's adding to the uncertainty facing policymakers. According to Bloomberg Economics, the tariffs should shave as little as 0.1 to 0.2 percentage points from growth this year. But those estimates don't capture how uncertainty may change corporate investment and hiring plans. The Fed must raise interest rates fast enough to prevent growth from overheating from a tailwind of $1.5 trillion in tax cuts and $300 billion in federal spending. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. In China, the economy is expanding at the slowest pace since 2016, with GDP increasing 6.7% in the second quarter. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
China's economic expansion slowed in the second quarter in line with expectations, but output was broadly stable even as the trade conflict with the U.S. intensified. Industrial output rose 6% last month from a year earlier versus the forecast of 6.5%. Retail sales beat, increasing 9% in June and stronger than the forecast of 8.8%. Fixed asset investment up 6% in the first 6 months, and that was the same as forecast. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis. Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Brian. Also in Hong Kong today, shares of ZTE surged 16%. The move comes after the U.S. formally lifted a ban on ZTE's American technology purchases.
Airbus is closing in on $29 billion of deals with Asian carriers. That's according to a source that tells Bloomberg the plane maker is working on a blockbuster agreement with AirAsia Group. Discussions are advanced enough that at least part of the sale could be announced during the Farnborough Air Show outside of London this week.
Deutsche Bank sees second quarter results coming in considerably above estimates. The German lender says it expects to report net income of about $470 million. That's more than twice the average analyst estimate. Shares of Deutsche Bank are up 5% in Frankfurt.
Amazon is in focus today as the company kicks off its fourth annual Prime Day. Bloomberg's John Metaxas reports.
Today's Prime Day is the first since Amazon closed on its purchase of Whole Foods. It's offering discounted poultry and seafood at its brick-and-mortar stores, plus incentives for customers to try grocery delivery for the first time. The grocery market has been hard for Amazon to crack, with sales of just $2 billion in 2017. That represents 18% of the U.S. online market. John Metaxas, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, John. Earnings are front and center with results from BlackRock and Bank of America due next hour. Netflix reports after the close of U.S. trading.
The board of Papa John's further distancing itself from John Schnatter after his use of a racial slur. The company is evicting him from its headquarters, removing him from all marketing materials, and reviewing all ties to the founder.
And in the U.K. today, Prime Minister Theresa May faces another showdown over Brexit. Sources tell Bloomberg one of her former ministers has begun assembling lawmakers to vote against her Brexit plans. S&P futures down 2 points, up 2 points. This is Bloomberg. And that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. More on the Trump-Putin summit now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump says he'll be criticized for the meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin no matter what the outcome. The meeting will begin in about an hour from now in Helsinki. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has a preview.
Mr. Trump says he goes in with lowered expectations because of the Mueller probe. But Bloomberg's Ross Krasny says he is saying some people won't be happy anyway.
If I got the moon, you'd ask for the stars. He said if I got Russia to give us Moscow, you would still be asking for St. Petersburg. So he basically said nothing will keep at least the media in the United States happy.
There are two sets of meetings.
90 minutes of one-on-one time together with only their translators present. So that's something that Democratic lawmakers and maybe others in the United States have been pretty fearful of.
And then another 2 hours with staff. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Republican Senator Rand Paul signaled that he's far from certain to vote for President Trump's pick for the Supreme Court in the closely divided Senate. Paul told Fox he's worried about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's record on constitutional privacy rights. Paul says he's concerned that Kavanaugh appears to support government surveillance programs that curtail privacy rights in the name of national security. U.S. and North Korean officials met yesterday to discuss the return of remains of American soldiers killed almost 7 decades ago in the Korean War. Bloomberg's David Tweed has more from Hong Kong.
These talks offer one of the best chances to ease tensions between the two sides as they argue over disarmament. Today they're having working-level talks on the transfer of remains held by the North Koreans and also about searching for an estimated 5,300 Americans still missing. It's not clear how long the talks will last. In Hong Kong, David Tweed, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Numerous current and former residents of a Brooklyn apartment building owned by presidential advisor Jared Kushner's family real estate firm say that they believe that they were targeted in a campaign to push them out of their rent-stabilized homes. The Kushner companies converted the units in the Williamsburg section into luxury condos selling for an average of $1.2 million. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Just to make this clear, S&P futures up 2 points. That is less than a tenth of 1%. Now 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. The Yankees finished the first half of the season with 62 wins despite falling to the Indians 5-2 on Sunday as the Tribe salvaged a four-game split. Skipper Aaron Boone on the state of affairs.
We've put ourselves in a really good position with the way we've played. We've given ourselves a chance to have a special season, but there's a long way to go. And all right now is we've done is given ourselves a chance. And, you know, hopefully the guys really take this time on the break to kind of recharge physically, mentally, and it's go time starting Friday.
The Yankees will usher in the second half of the season, hosting the Subway Series with the Mets on Friday. New York is 4.5 back of front-running Boston, who took 3 of 4 from Toronto. The Mets lost 6-1 to the Nationals, also earning a four-game split at Citi Field, but they're tied for last place with Miami entering the All-Star break. What to watch for at the All-Star game Tuesday in Washington? How about All-Star starter Aaron Judge? And then Jacob deGrom will have his turn on the bump for the Mets, looking to make a good showing. Of course, it's preceded by the home run derby. Wimbledon, Novak Djokovic made quick work of Kevin Anderson, a straight sets winner, which carried extra meaning this year.
They're all special. If I can pick one, that would be probably the first one. And this year's winning because my son was at trophy ceremony, which made it extra special.
It's Djokovic's fourth title on the grass courts and 13th major. The World Cup goes to France, a 4-2 winner over Croatia. It's their second title. And WNBA Tina Charles scored 21 to lead the Liberty past the Chicago Sky 107-84. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob. And that World Cup result is proving money talks. Lloyd's of London successfully predicted that France would win the championship based on the insured value of the team. A study by the Center for Economics and Business Research put the value of the French team at the top, $1.9 billion. This is Bloomberg. The sports report brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank with strong relationships and customized solutions. They work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. A bit of a mixed picture for equities this morning. U.S. stock index futures are higher, with S&P futures up 2 points, Dow futures up 41, and NASDAQ futures up 15. While European stocks, a little change, with the DAX in Germany up 0.1%, the CAC in Paris, little change, and the FTSE 100 down about 0.2%. Shares in Asia declined today after mixed economic data out of China. Bloomberg's Sophie Kamarudin reports from Hong Kong.
Chinese large caps fell for the first day in three, with financials and materials weighing the most on the mainland, while developers dragged the most on the Hang Seng. And Xiaomi fell as much as nearly 10% as China bars mainland investors from buying the stock among dozens of others via the Hong Kong trading link in an effort to curb capital outflows. But ZTE surged after the U.S. lifted a ban on the Chinese telco, with the hate shares climbing as much as 18.6%. In Hong Kong, Sophie Kamarudin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sophie, thank you. Today we are looking for a report on retail sales out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with Empire Manufacturing. Business inventories are out at 10, and Bank of America, Netflix, and BlackRock among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump says the U.S. relationship with Russia has never been worse as he prepares for a face-to-face meeting today with Russia's Vladimir Putin. Trump, in a tweet, is blaming the hostilities on many years of U.S. foolishness and stupidity and now the rigged witch hunt. President Trump named the European Union as a foe of the U.S. in an interview days after a contentious meeting with NATO allies. But a top European official disputes that. European Council President Donald Tusk said in a Twitter message that America and the EU are best friends, and says that whoever says that we are foes is spreading fake news. Baseball is now in its All-Star break. Yesterday, the Yankees lost. The Mets lost to the Nationals. The A's beat the Giants. The Red Sox and Orioles were winners. France still partying after they won the World Cup. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thanks, Michael. Now 5:19 on Wall Street. We're joined by Michael Hewson, market analyst for CMC Markets. Michael, good morning. Welcome. I know the tariff tensions remain on the minds of investors, but I wonder how a market analyst assesses the potential effects of the Trump-Putin summit that's about to get underway in Helsinki. The political pundits say we're not expecting any big surprises. Does a market analyst just leave it at that, or do you have any concerns or contingency plans for what might come out of a top-level summit like this?
I think, Bob, it's very difficult to price in any sort of scenario in any way, shape or form. I think for me, the important thing is, you know, what companies are reporting and what the numbers are telling me. And at the moment, despite all of these trade concerns that we've been having, obviously last week President Trump talked about an extra $200 billion in Chinese tariffs. The fact is they're not likely to take effect, if they take effect at all, until August. And ultimately, I think really all you can focus on right now, set aside the hyperbole and focus on the numbers. And the numbers at the moment look fairly good. Yes, Chinese GDP was slightly disappointing. Not really too much of a surprise, given that they're going through a deleveraging process, bit of a slowdown in industrial production. But ultimately, I think markets are behaving fairly ambivalently towards recent events. Yes, it's going to introduce short-term volatility, but ultimately, if you'd asked me where markets were a month ago and you told me they were pretty much where they are now, I wouldn't have been too surprised.
Now, when you talk about the hyperbole, are you suggesting then that you don't give much credence to what the White House has been saying?
No, I don't, simply because they're very good at hyperbole. And at the moment, I really need to focus on the substance. Now, at the moment, we do have tariffs. They're fairly modest. And I think while they remain fairly modest, really all we can really focus on in what company numbers are telling us. Now, obviously, last week we saw some very decent numbers from JP Morgan. I'll be very interested in looking at Bank of America's and BlackRock's numbers later today, and also Netflix as well, to see whether or not they're growing their subscriber base. Retail sales in the US likely to grow for the fifth month in succession. So I think at the moment what we're seeing is the economic effect of the tax cuts at the moment not being at the moment affected by the trade tensions. Now that may change, but until it does, it's very difficult to react to it.
Let me come back then to my opening question about the Trump-Putin summit. Is it pretty much off the radar then?
It's not off the radar. It never is. But I don't expect it to deliver anything particularly tangible. I think there's more political concerns about what Mr. Trump might offer Mr. Putin, if he offers him anything. He's talked about Russian relations or US-Russian relations being at their lowest level in years. Well, I can think of where they were quite bad when that airliner got shot down over Ukraine. I think they were pretty bad then. Mm. And I can't really imagine that they're worse now.
Let me then turn to one of the more serious problems in Europe at the moment, and that is Brexit and how it's weighing on the government of Theresa May. How concerned are you about that?
Again, not so much. Again, it's noise. It's political noise. And if you look at what the pound's been doing, it's slightly higher today on the back of the fact the UK economy is actually doing better than an awful lot of people had expected. Yes, it's fairly low down in terms of GDP growth at 1.3, 1.4. Nevertheless, the actual underlying numbers still look fairly solid. And ultimately, I think the likelihood is that we will go towards a soft Brexit rather than no Brexit. I think there's an awful lot of bad news already priced in to the market. So anything that actually comes out better than expected could actually be a net positive for the pound.
And are you satisfied with the UK economy at the moment?
It could be better. I think inward investment could be an awful lot better, and I think the Brexit effect is weighing on the UK economy, but I certainly think on valuations, stock valuations, UK markets are certainly not expensive.
And is the US economy continuing to be the engine that pulls the rest of the global economy along?
Very much so. I think that's pretty much the way I'm looking at it at the moment. I think the tax cuts are having a significant have given a significant boost to the US economy. I'll be particularly interested to see what the Q2 GDP numbers are when they get released at the end of next week, because that should give us an early indication as to how well the U.S. economy has done in Q2.
Michael Hewson is a market analyst for CMC Markets. We appreciate you joining us this morning. Let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P futures currently up 2 points. That is less than a tenth of 1%. Dow futures have added 43 points. NASDAQ futures up by 15 points. 10-year Treasury prices down 3/32. The yield at 2.8381%. West Texas Intermediate crude is down 0.2% at 70.55. Brent crude at 75.14. This is Daybreak. Brought to you by the 2018 Range Rover Velar. It brings together elegance and innovation like you've never seen before. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin meet less than an hour from now in Helsinki. We will have live coverage all morning on Bloomberg Radio. But first, let's see what else is making news this morning.
Well, U.S. futures are higher as we begin a new trading week. Japan's Nikkei was closed for a holiday, and oil is falling as Saudi Arabia is said to offer extra crude supplies to some customers, while the U.S. considers tapping into its emergency stockpiles. Checking oil right now, and NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7% or 51 cents at $70.50 a barrel, while Brent is down 0.33% on 24 cents to $75.06.
Earnings season kicks into full gear with Netflix reporting after the close of U.S. trading today. Greg Jarrett has a preview from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The main question hanging over Netflix's second quarter results, much like the first, is whether the company can add enough streaming subscribers to add investors whose bullish bets have made the stock the second best performer in the S&P this year. Wall Street's looking for second quarter total subscriber net additions of 1.22 million in the U.S., 5.08 million internationally. Netflix forecasts 1.2 million domestically and 5 million globally. In San Francisco, I'm Greg Jarrett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Greg. We also get quarterly results today from BlackRock and Bank of America. Those firms are scheduled to report next hour.
Investors will also be watching for retail sales before the opening bell. They're forecast to rise for a fifth straight month, up 0.5%.
China's gross domestic product increased 6.7% in the second quarter from a year earlier. That was the slowest pace since 2016 and down slightly from the previous quarter.
The New York Times is reporting Goldman Sachs early this week plans to name company president David Solomon as its next CEO.
Shares of Deutsche Bank are up more than 6%. The German lender says it sees results considerably above analyst estimates.
And Amazon kicks off its fourth annual Prime Day. According to CoreSite Research, the 36-hour event is poised to reach $3.4 billion in total global sales. Futures this morning, they're higher. S&P futures up 2 points. Dow futures up 44. NASDAQ futures up 16. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%, while the CAC in Paris is little changed. And the FTSE 100 is down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.83%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.58%. COMEX gold is up 0.3%, up $3.70 at $1,244.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1709, and the yen at 112.40. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. And it is now 5:33 on Wall Street. Ahead of that summit, President Trump delivers a bleak assessment of the state of U.S.-Russia relations. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that and more now. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. President Trump says our relationship with Russia has never been worse. Trump, in a tweet this morning ahead of the face-to-face meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin, says the relationship has suffered, quote, thanks to many years of U.S. foolishness and stupidity, and now the rigged witch hunt. The meeting will begin soon. Trump, who is in Helsinki for the Putin meeting, also says he'll be criticized for the meeting with Putin, no matter what the outcome. With more on the meeting, here's Bloomberg's Nathan Hager in Washington.
Before meeting Putin, President Trump told CBS News,
I don't expect anything. I frankly don't expect. I go in with very low expectations.
But after Friday's indictments of a dozen Russians accused of U.S. election meddling, the president says he will ask Putin about what he's called the rigged witch hunt. Bloomberg Washington Bureau Chief Craig Gordon.
The summit now has taken on an entirely new cast, and I'll be interested to see how Vladimir Putin explains the fact that 12 of his military officers, according to this indictment, were mucking around in Democratic emails.
In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Republican Senator Rand Paul says he's worried about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's record on constitutional privacy rights. Paul on Fox says he's worried and disappointed that Kavanaugh appears to support government surveillance programs that curtail privacy rights in the name of national security. New York Senator Chuck Schumer is calling for the Centers for Disease to study the recent rise in toddler drowning deaths. Drowning is the leading cause of accidental death among children between the ages of 1 to 4. Schumer is asking the CDC to investigate the increase and warn parents of the danger.
They have to let parents know that this is serious. They have to let parents know that this attitude, oh, I've heard about drowning, but it'll never happen to my child, is not the right attitude.
Research by Schumer's office found that drowning deaths among children under 4 went up 11% between 2014 and 2016, with twice as many boys drowning as girls. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you very much. And Michael moves us along to 5:35 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees enjoyed a tremendous first half of the year, 62 wins, despite coming up short in Cleveland 5-2 on Sunday, earning a four-game split. Problem is the Red Sox beat Toronto, also 5-2, taking 3 of 4 and increasing their lead to 4.5 over New York. That prompts the question for Yankees manager Aaron Boone if they'll be active at the upcoming trade deadline.
Kicking tires on everything, and I'm sure making proposals and counters and all that. So I know we're going to try. It comes down to, does it make the most sense for us, not, you know, short term and long term? I think, as I've said before, you know, it takes two to tango. So if the right deal comes about, I think we'll make it.
The trade deadline is July 31st. Yankees sent 4 All-Stars to Washington for Tuesday's Midsummer Classic, including starter Aaron Judge. Mets took 2 of 4 from the Nationals despite a tough 6-1 loss at Citi Field on Sunday. New York, who started the year 12-2, are tied for last place with the Marlins. Jacob deGrom's their lone all-star. Tennis Novak Djokovic rolled Kevin Anderson in straight sets for his 4th title on the grass courts.
Thought the first 2 sets against Kevin today, even though, I mean, you could feel that he was nervous, you could feel that he wasn't playing at his best, he was making a lot of errors, but I thought that I was very, very solid and just probably the 2 best sets I've played.
A bit more special this year for the Joker. His son was in attendance. It's his 13th major. World Cup, France doubled up Croatia 4-2 for its 2nd title. Golf from Lake Tahoe, the American Century Celebrity Championship, goes to Tony Romo, while Michael Kim blistered the John Deere Classic at 27 under par. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob.
Thank you, Rob Bushka. Now 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now, with the cover on why making a mid-size sedan is so hard for Tesla. Also in this week's issue, why plans for Saudi Arabia's Aramco IPO appear to be going nowhere. Will Kennedy wrote that story for Bloomberg Business Week.
It was seen as one of the biggest deals for a generation. 2 years later, it appears to have run into the sand a little bit. It was meant to happen this year. They've already delayed it to 2019. Moreover, people we've spoken to who are close to Aramco and close to the process have said some people are starting to question whether it will happen at all.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. Now 5:38 on Wall Street. That's time for your Tri-State Business Report. Good morning, Ed Corey.
Good morning, Bob. East Orange, New Jersey has passed an ordinance that prohibits landlords from increasing the rent of all senior citizens ages 65 or older or disabled persons by more than 2% each year. It also covers people who are deemed to be 100% disabled by the federal government. 8 small Connecticut business owners and representatives are heading to the Farnborough International Air Show in England next week. They hope to stake a claim in the booming aerospace business. All of the companies will share space at a State Department of Economic and Community Development pavilion at the event. Goldman Sachs is ready to take another step in the slow exit of its longtime CEO. The investment bank plans early this week to name company president David Solomon its next chief executive. That's according to the New York Times. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Ed, thanks very much. Now 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. We check in with our global news team now for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, I'm reporting on Boeing having a tough time shipping promised jets.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Papa John's founder, John Schnatter, has been evicted from his office and removed from marketing.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following a potentially dangerous turn for Theresa May in her battle with a divided Conservative Party.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that a giant pork pile awaits Americans as trade wars threaten exports of the meat.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Amazon is introducing its own smart TV.
Thank you all. Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Word in this morning that China has announced it filed a World Trade Organization challenge today to U.S. President Donald Trump's proposal for a tariff hike on $200 billion of Chinese goods, reacting swiftly amid deepening concern about the economic impact of their spiraling technology dispute. The one-sentence Commerce Ministry statement gave no legal grounds for the challenge or other details. It is an unusually rapid move for a trade case, coming less than 1 week after the U.S. Trade Representative announced the tariff plan, which wouldn't take effect until at least September. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and today we get U.S. retail sales figures for June out at 8:30 Wall Street time. Economists forecasting an increase of 0.5%, and Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
Consumer spending started the year on a soft footing, but it's been gathering strength. In May, retail sales advanced 0.8%, the most in 6 months. 10 of 13 major retail categories registered gains, led by clothing stores. Look for more strength in today's report. Among other economic reports this week, industrial production, housing starts, and the Fed's beige book. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Benny, thank you. We also get some earnings we're watching for today. Bank of America, Netflix, and BlackRock are among companies that are scheduled to report. And U.S. stock index futures, they're higher. S&P futures up about 2 points. Dow futures up 39. NASDAQ futures up 13. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.83%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.58%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.1% on 75 cents to $70.26 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25%, up $3.30 to $12.44.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.1704, the yen 112.43. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Donald Trump says his upcoming meeting with Russia's Vladimir Putin will go fine. Trump made the brief prediction today at a working breakfast with Finland's president just before the highly anticipated summit with Putin. It's scheduled to begin within a few minutes. Republican Senator Rand Paul says he's worried about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's record on constitutional privacy rights. Baseball is now in its All-Star break. Yesterday, the Yankees lost. The Mets lost to the Nationals. The A's beat the Giants. The Red Sox and Orioles were winners. France won the World Cup. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Appreciate it, sir. It is now 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspective on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We're joined live now by Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau. Jen, good morning. And Timothy L. O'Brien writes that President Donald Trump's summit in Helsinki with his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin, just about to get underway, well, he says it's tainted and that Trump has handed Putin a gift even before the talks start.
Yeah, and it's a gift that has eluded Putin's predecessors throughout the long decades of the Cold War, and that is bragging rights for having helped separate the U.S. from its Western European allies. This isn't just the attacks on German Chancellor Angela Merkel or U.K. Prime Minister Theresa May. When asked to identify his biggest foe globally right now, Trump's first response was that it was the European Union. I mean, Trump has, of course, gone out of his way to compliment and coddle Putin, and he has never really accepted that the Kremlin tried to splinter American democracy in 2016.
But is it getting harder for Trump to continue playing that game?
It is indeed. After Mueller unveiled the 29-page indictment charging 12 Russian operatives with using money laundering and identity theft to target the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. I mean, if you look at the indictment, there's more than a good chance that the person ultimately improving the Russian hackers' assault in 2016 is the very same person who Trump is meeting today in Helsinki.
So this might be the easier way to ask this question. What won't likely come up as subjects of discussion when Putin and Trump sit down?
Yeah, that's exactly the right way to ask it. What won't they be discussing? Well, one is perhaps how startlingly well-informed Trump campaign aides and confidants like Roger Stone seemed to be well before Election Day in 2016 about WikiLeaks disseminating stolen Clinton campaign emails. Another subject is whether or not Putin will let the Justice Department extradite the 12 Russian military officers whom Mueller charged with crimes on Friday. I mean, whatever conversation Trump has with Putin today is going to be tainted regardless of talking points, because Trump has already established himself so firmly as a Putin fanboy.
And here's something that Julian Lee has noticed. If you want to bring down gas prices, just start a trade war. And President Trump seems to have stumbled onto a somewhat unusual way to lower gas prices.
That's right. So the imposition of tariffs by the U.S. is going to raise the cost of imports, while retaliatory levels imposed by the likes of China, Canada, and the European Union will hit key exports. Higher costs will inevitably reduce the flow of things around the world's oceans and skies, and a smaller number of ships and planes and so forth are going to be needed to shift them. And that's something that will have an immediate and direct impact on oil demand.
And is there a longer-term impact?
There is indeed, because once this starts hitting the pockets of consumers, driving is inevitably going to get hit. And if drivers start to feel the pinch for too long, they're going to start to consider the types of vehicles they use and perhaps move to more economic models. It's worth noting that the U.S. has the least efficient car fleet among the G20 group of countries, getting around 27 miles per gallon from their cars, while the European counterparts can travel about 60% further than that.
And what can or what is OPEC doing to respond?
Well, Saudi Arabia and its allies are doing their best to get ahead of the decline, but even if they do boost output to record levels, that's going to leave them little spare capacity to deal with any unforeseen disruptions.
Our thanks to Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg opinion editor in our London bureau. And you can read more on these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg terminal by typing OPIN Go. Karen.
It is 5:52 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg ETF report. And here's Bloomberg's Julie Hyman on funds tied to volatility.
Volmageddon is now 5 months in the rearview mirror, or VIXplosion, depending on what you want to call it. Eric Balchunas of Bloomberg Intelligence is here. We're talking, of course, about the big short VIX ETF blowup that happened when we saw volatility spike in February. What's become of those products now?
Oh, they are a shell of their former selves. There's really two big ones that were in play that caused a lot of the controversy. Even though they did what they were supposed to do, they went down about 90% in a day, and that was the optics were spectacular. XIV, to quote Neil Young, XIV burned out. SVXY is fading away. So SVXY is still in existence, but it cut its exposure from 1x inverse to 0.5. So SVXY has seen its volume go from 14, 15 billion a day down to 2 or 3. So, and XIV is gone completely. So you're looking at 25 billion in monthly trading volume evaporated. For people worried about those products, they're basically on life support at this point.
All right. Still continue to watch what's going on there with volatility this year. Thanks, Eric. With the Bloomberg ETF report, I'm Julie Hyman.
Julie, thank you. Happy Prime Day. Well, it's really more like Prime Day and a half. By now, with Amazon's invented sales event in its fourth year and creating business buzz around the world, it seems you'd almost have to live on another planet to not have heard about it. This year, Prime Day is actually 36 hours, not 24, and it's become a global event. The world's largest online retailer is aiming to make a splash from India, where it's created ads with a decidedly local flair.
It's time for Amazon Prime.
Only for 36 hours. Amazon Prime Day.
To Germany.
Amazon DE. Prime Day.
To France.
Prime Day sur Amazon.
To Spain.
Prime Day en Amazon del 16 de julio al mediodía.
To Italy.
Prime Day su Amazon.
To the UK.
Loads of epic deals all in one place. Prime Day.
To Mexico.
Amazon Prime Day es el 16 de julio.
And Canada in the U.S.
Amazon Prime Day, July 16th through July 17th.
But the day means more to Amazon than a few weeks of international marketing hype or revenue that's estimated to reach as much as $3.4 billion this year, which would top Amazon's take for Cyber Monday. The big push has always been to drive new members to spend the annual $119 fee to join Prime, which promises free shipping and other benefits aimed at creating loyal customers who spend more. This year, though, there's something new included in Amazon's ever-expanding ecosystem.
Another reason to smile from Whole Foods Market, just for being a Prime member.
This is the first time in which Whole Foods is part of Amazon as part of Prime Day.
Mark Mahaney is an analyst for RBC Capital Markets. He says Amazon's game plan this year is turning its promotional juggernaut into fresh business for Whole Foods markets. Since Amazon acquired the grocery chain last year, Whole Foods has had 9 straight months of 2-3% same-store sales growth. Mahaney says Amazon hopes to make more of its loyal Prime members into Whole Foods customers.
They have about 60 million Prime customers, and there are only about 15 million Whole Foods customers in the U.S. And how do they get more of these Prime customers to shop at Whole Foods? It's a clear win if they can make it happen.
Prime members who've shopped at Whole Foods in recent days have been getting a $10 credit to apply to a Prime Day purchase. And in turn, Amazon is focusing on promoting more grocery offerings for this year's event. Investors will be watching closely to see if an idea that's worked so well for boosting Amazon sales on a random day in July can also help introduce shoppers to a new way of buying groceries. They can get their fresh meats and produce at Whole Foods, but skip the trip for cereal, coffee, and other staples you can buy sight unseen. Mahaney says it's a tall order, but worth trying.
There are a lot of Amazon Prime customers. If they can incentivize half of them to go over to shop regularly at Whole Foods, the ones that live near a Whole Foods to begin with, I mean, you could almost double the total number of customers at Whole Foods. This will take years to prove out, though.
Now, Amazon had grocery sales of $2 billion last year, representing 18% of the online market in the U.S., according to OneClick Retail Estimates. That's a tiny fraction of overall grocery spending, but as Amazon proved with books and electronics, habits can change. So, Karen, happy Prime Day, but don't take the day off. It's not really some kind of holiday or something.
I do have my credit card out. All right. Thank you so much, Bob. Futures this morning, they're a little changed to higher. S&P futures are up a point. Dow futures up 33. NASDAQ futures up 11. The DAX in Germany is up a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 3/32. The yield 2.83%. Yield on the 2-year 2.58%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.3% on 91 cents to $70.10 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.3% up $3.50. to $12.44.70 an ounce. The euro this morning, $1.1706. The British pound, $1.3265. And the yen, 112.40. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.